Well, welcome to Ridgecrest. We're excited to continue our series on Worth Fighting For. I want to welcome 1031 this morning, and so we pray that you guys are ready to worship God. So take your Bibles and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Now what I'm going to do, we're going to roll this morning because I really want to finish this message, and so I want to make sure that we get through these this series, and so I'm very excited about what God has given today. All we're doing is we're picking up where we left off last week, and we've been speaking on worth fighting for, how in this biblical look of marriage, we are not completed by our spouse, we are completed by Jesus. Jesus completes us, according to Colossians 2, verse 10. We're completed in Him. So the moment we get saved, we have everything. We've got the entire Trinity who completes us. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Now, it is great when you do have a spouse that complements you. I don't mean verbally, although that helps. Amen. But what I mean is someone that God has put beside you on this journey to come and be the helpmate, is what the Bible literally says, a helpmate, to make it through this journey where the entire world looks down upon what a holy, sacred covenant that God says is what you do when you get married. I mean, we make a covenant with God and with that other person. And so in a day and age where that is looked light upon and it's looked down upon, really, we're wanting to take what the Bible says and really apply it to our lives. And so last week we talked about husbands, how to love our wives in that way in Ephesians 5. And so look with me real quick. Here's what I'm going to do, guys. We're only going to look at one verse in Ephesians 5:25, and then we're going to hop over to Colossians, okay? So Ephesians 5:25, please stand in honor of reading God's Word. Ephesians 5:25, and then we're going to go to Colossians 3:19. Listen to both of these commands, if you want to say, admonitions from Paul to the church. He says in verse 25, husbands, love your wives. All right, so that's number one. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Colossians chapter 3, verse 19 says this. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be bitter toward them. Father, please speak. Oh God, you have really stirred and gripped my heart with this word. And so may I get out of the way so that you may do the speaking, the convicting, and the talking. God, may they hear you more than they hear this preacher. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. May be seated. So last week, we talked about how if we're going to love her, and remember, what we've been given, God expects the husbands. This is very important to get right off the bat. God expects the husbands to cherish our wives with an unconditional love. So we are to cherish our wives with an unconditional love. How does that happen? How does that happen? If our marriage is worth fighting for, and if you're single in here, this is great premarital counseling for the men. If we are going to have a marriage, a relationship, built on God's Word that is worth fighting for, if you want to reach the 30, 40, 50, 60-year mark in your marriage, which I do, we got 15 years coming up in December, and I'm fired up about it. I'm fired up about it, okay? I just want you to know that. But if you want to reach what I talked to a lady this morning who said 62 years, if I want to reach that, I've got to make sure I love her with a spiritual love. I've got to love her with a spiritual love. Paul meant love her with a crazy, insane, radical type of love. Okay? So I got to love her with a spiritual love. In other words, it's the type of love that refuses to die. Listen to me. The same word that Paul used when he said, husbands, love your wives in Ephesians 5:25 and Colossians 3:19. When he says, husbands, love your wives. Don't miss this, guys. If you miss this, you miss it all. It is the exact same word that Jesus used in John 3:16 for love. For God so loved the world that he gave his everlasting, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so that love, that's the love he's talking about. It's a love that refuses to die. When it gets tough, when it gets depressing and gloomy, and it looks like you ought to throw in the towel, and everybody out there tells you to. Do you know that Jesus could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't. Why? Because he had a love that refused to die for you and for me. And that's the love that we're to love our wives with, a spiritual love. Number two, a sacrificial love. It's a sacrificial love. So take that John 3:16 again. He so loved the world, that he gave. Same type of love. He gave something very precious. I'll tell you what, I just want to get married and coast. Won't last long. Won't last long. It will not last long. There's got to be sacrificial love. It is a volitional love rather than an emotional love. This love, listen to this, this love is a type of love that when your tank is, your love tank is running on fumes, it fights through the feelings of leaving. It conquers circumstances. It deals with disappointments and it stays the course. Just listen to this. 1 Corinthians 13, I didn't plan and I'm not going to read all of it, so you don't have to go through it, but listen to this. It's this type of love. It suffers long. It's kind. It does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. The type of love we ought to have for one another. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, and hopes all things, and endures all things. You see, I don't have to tell you. You probably realize this by now if you've been married for a week to 60 years. If you're going to have that marriage that lasts, you're going to have to make some sacrifices. Guys, remember, guys, I'm talking to us. So if we want to have that marriage that lasts 60 years, I think we do this so often. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ has loved the church. And what? What did he do for the church? Gave himself for it. Okay, this is just my opinion. You can argue with me here. I think we've heard that so many times that we think, yeah, Jesus died. People die every day. I mean, people die every day. What's the big deal about Jesus dying? People die every day. What is the big deal about Jesus dying? So what? He was crucified on the cross. I mean, so what? So watch. I'm to have the type of love for Lenora and to love her the way Jesus loved me and gave himself for me. So I just want to read couple of scriptures to you. And I want you to think through this. I've been wondering what I'm going to do for Easter, if I'm going to do a series or if we're going to be in the middle of a book somewhere. But I'm really leaning towards this, just kind of making a march to the cross and just kind of watch what. But and so in doing that and in studying that, I want to read these verses. Now, they're not going to be up on the screen unless they can get them, but it's Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 41. Luke 22, beginning in verse 41. I want you to listen to what it says, okay? Remember, watch. I'm to love Lenora with the exact same type of love that Jesus loves me. Don't miss that. I'm the church. You're the church. So I'm to love her, husbands. We're to love our wives the exact same way, and he gave himself for her. So we say, but Jesus died. What's the big deal? Remember, this is all under the point, I'm to love her with a sacrificial love. So watch. This is the type of love that Jesus loved us with. Look what he went through to make sure he purchased me. Look what Jesus went through to make sure that my sins would be forgiven, verse 41. And he was withdrawn from them. Then there he's praying in the garden about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and he prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. Now everybody look right up here. Now come on, guys. I mean, some of these people who say, well, I've seen an angel, and they're never changed or whatever. If you read through the book of Daniel, when Daniel saw an angel, he was strengthened. He was encouraged. When Jesus had an angel appear to him, and it strengthened him. Okay? So you would think right now that, hey, man, well, praise the Lord. We got it made now. I mean, an angel is there, and he's strengthening him. Even, this is very, very important, because you can't draw your strength from anybody other than God. Even with an angel strengthening Jesus. Listen to what it says in that next verse, and I want you to pay attention to verse 44. And being in agony. I can't wait to get there for the Easter service. I don't have time right now. That word right there, we can't really grasp the definition of that word in the English language. It literally means, watch, it means to be stricken with fear to the point where you're paralyzed. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus sinned and had fear. I'm not saying that at all. But the entire grip, why? Because he was looking past the here and now, and he was looking to the cross where all of the wrath of God would be poured out upon him for you and for me. That, my friend, is love. And so it says, and being in agony, listen to this, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. So often in our prayer life, when things happen to us, we give up. No, the hotter the fire's turned up, the more we may need to hit our knees and continue to pray more earnestly. In your marriage right now, you're thinking about giving up. Many of you are thinking about giving up. Don't give up. Pray more earnestly. He said this, then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Jesus just died on the cross. He just died. We don't understand the depth of what he went through for you and for me to be able to be forgiven and to be redeemed and to be called a child of God. But I do know this. Listen to me. He went through all of that for me. And then Paul turns around and says, hey, guys, hey, husbands, hey, man. I'm a man. I'm a man. This is my house. Yeah, you better love your wives that way. Fist bump, men. It's a sacrificial love. The type of sacrificial love I'm talking about is the love that Jesus has shown for you and for me. It's that type of a love. Jesus loved the world and loved his church so much. And listen to this statement. He gave the most important thing he could to it. He gave his very life. So brace yourselves, husbands. Here we go. If I'm going to love my wife, if we're going to love our wives the way God expects us to love our wives, listen to me, and have a marriage worth fighting for, I've got to be willing to die to my expectations for her so that I can focus on God's expectations for me. Remember, Ephesians 5:25, what's the first word? Husbands. Husbands. Now, Missouri, on the chart, is smarter than Mississippi. On the chart. So y'all got to read, y'all got to talk back. All right, here we go. All right, so it says, husbands. So who is he talking to? Husbands. Husbands. You got to be willing, 1031, you got to be willing, husbands, to die to your expectations for her and focus on who that verse is speaking to. He's talking to me. Husbands, die to your expectations for her and focus on God's expectations for you. But you don't know, but you don't know, but I do know what God's saying to me. He's telling me to focus on God expects me to love my wife even more than I love my own wife, my own life. And so here's the question that I wrote down. Do I love my wife enough to die for her? Not physically, but selfishly. Not physically, but selfishly. Do I love her enough to die to my selfish expectations for her? There was a man and a woman, they were swimming on their honeymoon and scuba diving, and someone saw a shark, and so they saw the shark, and so the man just got out of there. I mean, he knocked his wife out of the way and swam to shore. When they got to the shore, the wife said, "Honey, you told me when we got married that you'd face death for me." He said, "That shark wasn't death." Husbands, listen to this statement. Listen to this statement. Husbands, man, this is good. Are you willing to give the death penalty to all that you expect from your wife so that you can focus on giving her what God expects from you? Let me say that again. Husbands, are you willing to give the death penalty to all that you expect from your wife so that you can focus on what God expects from you? Will I forget about my own expectations for her and focus on God's expectations for me? How do we reach that point? I mean, how do we love our wives in this supernatural, super sacrificial level? How do we do that? I wrote this down. In every situation with Lenora, and trust me, boy, we are in no way there, but we are trying to get there. I mean, I am, man. I'm telling you, it's been hard. You know, I love to preach a series on something that maybe I'm being obedient at, you know, but God is whipping me with this. And so in every situation with my wife, I have got to be willing to ask one question. Now I'm telling you, get ready, because you're going to be hit upside the head with this when you get home. Something's going to happen. 10:31, something is going to happen in your life, in your marriage, and you're going to want to blow your top. And you're going to remember, but Pastor Chad said, according to the Bible, if I want to love her in a spiritual, sacrificial way, how do I have this supernatural? There's one question you ask. You ready? It's so deep, man. I got to sit down and tell you. Ready? Listen. What is the loving thing to do? Now, I'm about to back it up with some scripture that really will rock you. So here we go. Tension is rising. It's boiling. What is the loving thing to do? Are you ready for the scripture? So Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's teaching them about what it means to be a true follower of Christ. Hear me, guys. Oh, listen, don't miss this. He's teaching them in John chapter 13. He's teaching them what it means. And then he looks at them in John 13:35, and he says this, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciple. If you what? Have love one for the other." You know what I believe? Listen to me in the balcony down front. You know what I believe? 10:31. I believe we're so concerned about the world knowing that we're saved that we just take for granted how we act at our house. God forbid I ever act one way in front of you and don't do it at home. D.L. Moody said, "If I want to know whether or not a man's right with God, I don't go to his pastor, I go to his spouse." By this shall all people know that you're my disciple. If you love one another. Can I tell you the first person I want to know that I'm a follower of Jesus is Lenora. I don't care if anybody else knows whether or not I'm saved. If she doesn't, I've got to get it right at home, folks. I've got to get it right at home. What's the loving thing to do? Hey, she's asked me this before. Watch this. She's asked me this before. "Would you talk to one of your church members the way you did me?" Now, I told her to submit, and she didn't listen. That's between her and God. Hey, are y'all listening to me? Hey, listen. Would you talk to one of your coworkers the way you talk to your spouse? We got to bring it home. It starts in home. Paul, in Ephesians 5, you do remember what he's talking about. This is so good. Oh, y'all, I need one vote to go 50 minutes today. No, I'm joking. Watch this. Just listen. Let's listen. Watch this. Remember what verse we're in. Ephesians 5, 25. Do you remember what's 22 and 23? It's fruit of the Spirit. He gives the fruit of the Spirit. Isn't that something? How he takes the fruit of the Spirit and goes straight to the home. Oh, but we you know what we want to do? That's Galatians 5. We want to, Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Galatians is the fruit of the Spirit, but he's taking the Spirit-filled life in Ephesians 5. And he's going all the way through there. He's going all the way through in Ephesians. You know what he does? He takes it straight to the home. He goes straight to the home. If you want to have it right, you go to the home. You go straight to the home. And so the major question is, what is the loving thing to do? So, number one, I'm to love her with a spiritual love. Number two, I'm to love her with a sacrificial love. And lastly, don't miss this, I'm to love her with a sensitive love. Sensitive love. You say, what do you mean? Listen to Colossians again. Colossians 3:19. Colossians 3:19. Husbands, here we go. Love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Spiritual love, it's a love that does not give up. Sacrificial love, I'm to love her the same exact way as Jesus loved the church. Same word that he gave when he gave his only begotten son. I mean, it is a volitional love. It's not an emotional love. What is a loving thing to do? And sensitive love, I'm not to be bitter towards them. That word bitter literally means, listen to this, it means angry, impatient, frustrated, to treat harshly, or ready to throw in the towel. So let's read it again. Husbands, love your wives. Do not be angry. Do not be frustrated. Do not be impatient. Do not treat them harshly. Do not give up on them. Wow. Wow. I'm telling you, the person I love the most can drive me the craziest. Isn't it true? I mean, why is that? I mean, it drives me nuts. Sometimes, and I think, my goodness, why is that? I mean, I love Lenore more than any person in this world. And this is what really I wrote down. Do you know what really makes men impatient, angry, and frustrated? Now, this is a lot of study, and it's this: anything they don't understand. Two ways to handle women, and nobody knows what they are, right? All right? One man said this. He said, to be able to meet our wives' needs, we have to know what they are. And the first thing that men's got to accept is that their needs are not the same as our needs. There was a survey in Christianity Today magazine that asked women which of seven activities would bring them the most pleasure in life. The very first one, the highest percentage of answers came back for this. 29% of women out of 500 women surveyed, 29% of women said relaxing on a beautiful tropical beach is the most pleasurable activity. 28% of the women said having a romantic dinner with their husband or boyfriend. Only 9% ranked having moments of intimacy as the highest. Matter of fact, having a piece of chocolate cake with whipped cream and hot fudge ranked higher than that. Hey, let me tell you something I do know. You ask 500 men what it is on theirs, and I'll guarantee you what number one is. That's just, we're different. Men and women are different from one another. And so here's the great news for you this morning. God has not called us to understand women. God has not called us to understand women. Listen, He's called us to love them spiritually, sacrificially, and sensitively by listening intently. And that's where I get in trouble. Listen intently and carefully to what they mean and what they say, and then meet their needs. Listen to what John Phillips said. This was so good. John Phillips said, according to Colossians 3:19, he said, "Husbands, don't call your wives honey and then treat them like vinegar." He said, "Husbands must not display harshness of temper or resentment toward their wives. They are not to irritate or agitate them, but rather provide loving leadership in the home." Man. If we want to love our... this is very, very important, especially in my generation, because I'm telling you, with the internet, with social media, with all that, it's incredible to me the amount of affairs that almost happen or do happen because of things like that. Let me say this. Never put your wife down in private or public, but especially men in front of another woman. Never. Never. And guys, if you've got Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or whatever, all those things, if you got all of that, and an old flame in the past comes up, let your wife pour cold water on it. Don't have any type of a password that they don't know. Let them be able to look at anything to hold you accountable. You know why? Not what? Listen, don't take the view, "Oh, so I won't get caught." No, no. So that you'll love her with unconditionally, spiritually, sensitively, sacrificially, so that you'll love her, that you'll only have eyes for her. So here we go. This is it. We're done. This is what I wrote down in my notes right here. This very, 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 very important. From my heart. Now, I want to speak to you as a pastor now, okay? As a pastor and a husband. I mean, I've been doing it all along, but I really want to drive that home as being studying this scripture and coming straight from God's word. Pastor, you said at the very beginning, "I'm to cherish my wife. I'm to cherish my wife." How do I do that? Ready? Cherish her, number one, listen, in your home. Cherish her in your home. In other words, I just wrote it. My three kids, Anley, Deuce, and Asher, they must know that I love their mama. They must know that daddy loves her mama. I don't know if it's like this in your house, but when I go home and I hug Lenore and I go to kiss her, why do the kids always push me away? Your kids every day push me away, the man way, not their mama. They got to know that I love their mama, and they will love their spouses the same way. So if they never hear me say I love you and show that I love her, you know what? They got a long road ahead of them. Number two, cherish her in your home. Cherish her in your heart. Cherish her in your heart. Give yourself to her and for her. Give yourself to her and for her. Listen, guys, listen. We say, "Well, you have not because you ask not." I think that is one of the most misused and misunderstood verses in all the Bible. That's all we say. Have not because you ask not. That means that anybody can just ask and have. No, if you keep reading, because you ask in the wrong way. Because number one, you may not be right with God. So watch this. I get myself right with God, and then I ask God to do something that He's told me to do. God, you told me to love Lenore the way you love the church. I can't do it, so I need you to help me. And I cherish her in my heart. I cherish her in my heart. She's got to know. Listen, she's got to know that she has all of me. I told her this a million times because I'm away from her a lot. "Baby, I love you. I love you. I've always been faithful to you. I've always been faithful to me, to you." Not too long ago, I said, "Baby, we're away." I said, "Baby, I love you and I've always been faithful to you." She said, "You better or I'll kill you." You know, that's what I say. Hey, listen to this, guys. Listen to this. Job, very good verse, Job 31:1. Hey, guys, this is what you'll see on my mirror at home because I want to look at it every day. Job 31:1. Listen to it. I've made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? You see, if I'm going to cherish Lenora in my heart, then I need to make sure no other person gets in and steals a part of it. And so I'm going to make a covenant with my eyes. I'm going to look at Lenora and Lenora only. Number three, lastly. Cherish her in my home. Cherish her in my heart. Cherish her in my head. You got to cherish her in your head. You say, but I told y'all this last week. Well, she doesn't look the way she did when we married, got married. Well, neither do you. Neither do you. Listen, guys. In my eyes, this is just me. In my eyes, nothing compares to Lenora. I mean, that's just me. And I don't just say that to say it. I mean it. I don't get to see her on Sundays until she walks in sometimes. And I let me tell you one thing. I tell you right now, I fail at so many things, a lot more than I pass at. But I do know this. You ask Lenora, does Pastor think that you're beautiful? And she's going to say, good, great. He thinks I'm the most beautiful person. You know why? Because she does. She still takes my breath away when I say it. And I don't mean that to say, aw, but y'all can if you want to. Hey, like, listen, I really, 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 really do love her. And I want her to know nobody can compare to her. So I want to back that up with Scripture. I want to give you stuff, not my opinion. I want to give you Scripture so this can help you, men. Listen to Psalm. Listen to this. Psalm 141. Psalm 141. This is so good. Psalm 141, and I'm gonna give you a run and start. Verse 1. Lord, listen to what the psalmist is saying. Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. In other words, come on. Come on quick. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Watch this. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Now, here we go. If I'm going to cherish Lenora in my home, in my head, and in my heart, I want her to know she's the only woman for me. I want her to know that I only have eyes for her. This is a good place to start. Verse 3. Oh, Lord, I'm praying this. I'm praying this. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity, and do not let me eat of their delicacies. So in other words, watch. If I want to be all in for Lenora, if I want to be all in and have a marriage worth fighting for, you know what I do? You know what I do? Lord, guard my mouth, what I say to her. And when I'm out with other people, don't let me go the way of the wicked. Don't let me go the way of the wicked. On Father's Day, one of the Sunday school teachers told their kindergarten class to make a card for their father. And they said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to draw a picture of what your daddy loves the most. Footballs, hunting, deer, golf. One little boy said, can I draw a picture of my mommy because he loves her more than anything? Isn't that what we ought to have? Listen to what D.L. Moody said. I mean, Martin Luther said this. He described a godly and a good marriage this way. This is great advice. Let the wife make the husband glad to come home, and let him make her sorry to see him leave. That's what we ought to have. Let's pray. Father, we come to you right now, God, and our hearts are laid out before you. I come to you on behalf of every husband and husband-to-be in this room. And God, I pray that you would send a revival in our hearts, first of all, that we would get right with you. And God, after that, Lord Jesus, I pray that we would seek you with our whole heart to love our wives the way you love the church. Love them spiritually, sacrificially, and sensitively. Oh God, help us. Help us know to come to the source of our strength, you. Help us to know to come to the one that can part the Red Sea, that can raise the dead. And God, I know that this morning in 1031 or down or in this auditorium, there are dead marriages in this room. God, we need the healing of the resurrected King Jesus to touch them. So I pray right now for a spirit of, of submissiveness between the husband and the wife, and of repentance. And may today change the lives of people in here. In Jesus' name, amen.